You're listening to WGXC,
Acre,
Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM. We're here for you.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Igers Kildas and Louisa Sabin Kildas of Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love. Don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some loving here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me,
sister,
with brutality,
sister.
Talk to me,
sister,
so you can see,
sister.
Oh, what's going on? Judge us simply 'cause our hair is long. Can't see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on.
Right, right on, right on.
Right on.
I guess this is the part we all get to. Yeah, man. Ah, brother. All right, man. Chatting along with the Lions here, so I've just learned. Welcome. You are listening to The Mosquito on WGXC-FM with your host, Carmen Borgia.
And Nancy Giles, with special guests...
Allison Davey and...
Nancy Shane, coming up in our 11 o'clock hour.
Yeah, Nancy Shane coming up in a bit. All right, so let's get our levels sorted out here. This is pretty good so far. I'm feeling okay.
Feeling okay?
Well, I can always turn myself down a little bit.
You're a firecracker, so, you know.
I think it's just when you're got your finger on your own knob, so to speak, it's like, you know how it goes.
Then, what?
Well, I'm mixing the thing, you know, like I'm not, you know. I don't have all the sophistication of NPR here. I don't have, like, a producer behind the glass who's like, yo, see what you need.
I have to tell you.
It's just me and the magic fingers here.
It's just the having a finger on one's own knob. That just took me in a whole weird, you know.
Yeah, well,
thank you, Allison. I appreciate
that. That's pretty much where I'm sitting most of the time. So.
I got to tell you something about the song that we started with, which is that classic Marvin Gaye, What's Going On?
Yeah.
What's Going On from the album of the same name. I think that album was from 1971, actually. And two cool things. One is, for everyone who's listening, if you haven't seen on Showtime this documentary called Hitsville, USA, The Making of Motown, Hitsville, The Making of Motown, you've got to watch it. It's thrilling. And they break down part of what's going on. First, you hear the story of how Berry Gordy didn't want to record it because he didn't like getting into politics or anything like that in the music. Huh. And Marvin pushed back and he was like, you told us to write about what's important to us and my brother's in Vietnam and blah, blah, blah. And he was not down for it at all. And it ends up being like only one of the best, I think it's on Rolling Stones, like close to number one, a best album of all time. It's an incredible album.
Well, it's a pretty fantastic album. I mean, what else is on that album? It's...
Oh, my God.
I mean...
Gosh. Now, What's Happening, Brother?
Mm-hmm.
Heard It Through the Grapevine is probably his other most famous song
right.
that I hear right. most.
Right.
But I would say I haven't heard that one as much in the past. I hadn't thought of it. I don't think I've heard that one in the past maybe 10 years as much as I've heard What's Going On.
I know. It's because what is going on? You know, things are kind of whack right now.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, let me just get this other thing out and then we can talk about what's going on. So you have to watch that Showtime documentary, Hitsville, The Making of Motown. It's great. Second thing is, I can now report that as of last week, I actually made it to the Motown Museum in Detroit. I was in the Motown Museum. It's going to be expanded and even bigger in 2 years. But to be in that building and to see the row of houses that Berry Gordy ended up buying and expanding and whatnot, it was just so thrilling and wild how small the main studio is where so many of those great songs are made. It's staggering.
Those old studios were, well, especially the ones that were scrappy. The other one that resembled it a little bit in size was Ray Charles's studio, and he had when he was on Atlantic. And I've seen photos of it, and from the back window of the floor of the building I worked on in Midtown, I could look down and see the building it was in. Because
wow.
It was, and here's the thing, it was like on, it was on like, so we were on, what was it, 55th or something like that. So this must have been on 56th Street. I could look out and see the back of the building. And it's a building that at the time I was working there didn't have a studio anymore, but it had like, there was a sushi bar and another thing and something else. This was like a 4-floor walk up. That you had to go. So this would not have been a big, like, you know, this would have been a lug your upright bass, you know, all the way up the steps kind of place, you know.
It's just amazing. It's amazing. Just, yeah, these special rooms where all this magic happened.
Yeah.
And the Motown one, was it in a basement?
Let me think. I think, yeah, that's right, because we were on the first floor and then we went downstairs. Yes, I believe you are correct.
I think we learned that in that movie, The Standing in the Shadows of Motown. Was that that movie we watched?
That's another great one to see.
That's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, yeah, and that we learned a lot about that. That was my first introduction to that studio and to really understand how...
Yeah.
Wow. So it's so cool you saw it with your own eyes, just to be like, oh my God.
I saw it with my own eyes. I mean, you know, and no one,
really
of course, no one can really see these, but here's a picture of me standing in front of Hitsville.
Oh, beautiful.
All right.
Huh?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'll show you some other stuff.
And do they do like tours, docent tour type thing?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they did. Everybody goes on a tour. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy will take you through and then you can sort of linger, but you sort of have to go on this tour.
Mm-hmm.
And they do let you take pictures, but no videos or anything like that. And it's just amazing.
Wow.
There was you saw the control room that was attached to the actual studio, and on the floor, the floorboards are sort of worn bare in certain spots where you could tell people were like either tapping their feet or walking back and forth, and they left them that way. It's really, it was really something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well,
I don't think that's the studio where Marvin Gaye recorded What's Going On. I'm not sure, but he may have been at another location, but that was the main Motown location, the main studio for a lot of the classic stuff. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, you didn't need, like, the equipment was pretty expensive then, but Berry Gordy would have been, he would not have had the cutting edge stuff. He would have had much less expensive stuff. But a lot of that stuff was like, you know, you don't really need a lot of overtracking, and the more live it is, that's all part of it. And in truth, you know, it's like you kind of squeeze people in the room and it's more about the people than the room. But they also, if you know that other people have been there, you know, you get excited and, you know, it's just like the place where it happens. And,
Yeah, and let's be honest, those people could really sing, okay? Let's just lay it out.
Oh,
like,
Lord.
Every last
one
of them.
What's it called? Auto-tune or whatever?
No auto-tune.
Yeah,
no post-production. You know, the post-production fix was that the first thing they did, I think, in terms of production stuff, is they would add the vocals later because there was an advantage to that. But still, you know, and then you could punch in. Like, when I started, that was the big thing that was considered cheating, was, like, if you could sing it through with one take and not punch in, then that was, like, courageous and mighty.
But, like, I always thought that's what you're supposed to do. Like, the idea of, I know.
I found out later in life through crazy experience, just repeated experiences, that sometimes it's the singer that makes you punch them in, but usually it's some other dick in the studio that decides that they have, you know, it's the producer or some other, you know, income justifying or, you know, income providing or, you know, this is going to be on our show, you know. So it's usually some editorial party that's like, no, we need to fix this note and that note and this note. And then when you get done, it's, you know, it's sometimes it, I'm not saying that process always makes it worse, you know, and sometimes singers can be that way. No, I have to fix that note. I can't let that go out because of, it's funny. I had an acquaintance who had done an album for a known recording artist that I won't say who it is or.
Why won't you say?
No,
why?
Because the thing I'm going to say is not founded. It's just me speculating. But when the album, the person who had worked on it kind of bragged up a certain piece of equipment that he had, a certain piece of reverb. And when I finally heard the album, I was kind of startled because there was kind of way too much reverb on the album. And the next thing that went through my mind was like, well, he probably didn't put that on there. Like, he would have put on some, but it's usually the singer who gets insecure about their voice, and then they fuck up the recording by having you put reverb on it or auto-tune or some other thing. So I could imagine a scenario where the engineer's in the room and you end up with too much of a thing on there because that's the only way it's going to get out of the room because someone's having anxiety.
Wow. Well, wait, we got to ask Allison. Allison, you've recorded stuff. Like, what's been – I sort of agree with what Carmen said a bit back. Like, it to me, it feels like cheating if things get punched in. But what's your thought?
Well, it's funny because in the classical music world, everybody's always, you know, there used to be this sort of belief that, oh, no, you know, classical people don't go for all that studio stuff. And, of course, nowadays that's all out the window. Everybody does everything.
Is it really?
In the
it is, huh?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're not going to let a CD or a recording go out without it sounding pretty amazingly tight. So I've been in situations definitely where Carmen and other engineers have fixed things for me, for sure. In general, you know, you want to see if you can do it without. I mean, that is the goal, to see if you can, especially if you want it to be an honest perform. I hate to say that. I mean, if you want it to be an original performance without anybody else doing something to it. But these days, I have learned being in the studio with Carmen that, you know, there's a lot that gets done just to let it go out the door. You want to make it sound a certain standard, you know.
Right.
I mean, live music, live performing is neat because it gives you a chance to just lay it on out there for people without anything in between, you know. So,
yep.
And that can be really fun to let when the mistakes happen. Like, I remember I went to the Kennedy Center. I heard, I think it was Dawn Upshaw, and she was singing this Aaron Copland song that you start listing all the different kind of, it's an old, I think it's an old Shaker tune or something, and she sings about all these different ponies, and Dapples and Grays, and she couldn't remember the next, so she just sang about Dapples and Grays and these ponies for a long time. Dapples and Grays and Dapples and Grays and Dapples and Grays, doopity, you know. And I was so pleased because I was a young singer at the time, and I thought, oh my God, that's Dawn Upshaw up there making up words and totally repeating words because she can't remember the name of all these damn horses in this Aaron Copland song.
Oh, so, I love it.
Yeah, that meant a lot to me to hear. It means a lot to hear the great people make mistakes.
I know. I agree.
Right?
And, you know, I went through a phase where, well, I've never actually been out of this phase. I love hearing live recordings, you know, like the live shows or for that very reason. And I think that, in fact, I'm going to send you, Carmen, something that I think was amazing. And I think she won a Grammy for it. Ella Fitzgerald singing in Berlin, a live album in Berlin. She messes up the lyrics to Mack the Knife, and it's one of the best things you've ever heard
in
your life.
Yes, I would love to hear. I have heard that, and I love that. Yes.
So it's Ella Fitzgerald.
I'm sending it to you now.
Yeah, that's. I do
talk
recall
amongst
hearing
yourselves.
That. That's great. Yeah, because it makes you feel like, oh, God, these are humans. Hello, that's what we're all yearning for. We're yearning to connect with other humans.
Now, one angle I have on the recording and the punching in and the cheating thing is, I don't like to call it cheating.
I think
recording is recording and live is live.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And I think that whatever you do in a recording is kind of fair game. But you have to be a little careful. You don't, like, does